First reading is from Exodus 17, beginning with verse 1. Because the thirsty Israelites quarreled with Moses and put the Lord to the test, Moses cried out in desperation to the Lord. The Lord commanded Moses to strike a rock to provide water for the people. And the question, "Is the Lord among us or not?" received a positive answer. As I read this, I thought it was really interesting that when things go wrong, the Israelites blame the person that's helped them more than anyone. When things go wrong, they blame Moses and the God who is helping Moses to save the people. So, from the wilderness of sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They're ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you strike the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord. And the psalm, Psalm 95, beginning with verse 1. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. The sea is yours, and you made it, and your hands formed the dry land. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Oh, that today you would hear God's voice. There your ancestors tested me. They put me to the test, though they had seen my works. Indeed, I swore in my anger, they shall never come to my rest.
The Holy Gospel for us this day, according to St. John, the 4th chapter. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. But Jesus answered her,
"If you knew the gift of God, And who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink? You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.
Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drink from it?
Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life.
Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water.
Go, call your husband, and come back.
I have no husband.
You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true.
Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem.
Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us.
I am he, the one who is speaking to you.
Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, what do you want, or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar, and she went back to the city, and she said to the people,
come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?
They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus said to them,
I have food to eat that you do not know about.
So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat.
My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor.
Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more believed because of his word, and they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you.
Please be seated. Following you because I need water. And I'll be thirsty again, too. How y'all doing? Doing all right? So I'm Justin Grimm. I work at the Synod office as the Director for Evangelical Mission, as well as one of the assistants to the bishop. And it's a great joy and an honor to be with you today. I bring greetings on behalf of Bishop Patricia Lowell and the other staff at the Synod, but also on behalf of the other 114 congregations, the new mission starts and mission explorations in the St. Paul Area Synod. We're 125,000 members in the four counties that we occupy here in St. Paul. I made a bad joke at the first service. I'll make it again. When I lived in Michigan, we used to joke that the Lutherans in Minnesota were dense. And it was about the numbers. It wasn't about our ability to think. So just so you know. I'm here to install Julie again, because we weren't sure it took the first time. So we're going to do it again the second time to make sure that she's fully and duly installed. And I've been able to work with your congregation a little bit in the call process, and then today was engaged in some conversation around the next chapter in outreach and evangelism that you maybe are feeling called to. So I look forward to more partnership along the way. So right now, would you pray with me? God, there's so much going on in this world right now that makes us sigh. There's so much going on in this world right now, Lord, that sometimes feels oppressive and hard. There's also things that are going on in our lives individually and corporately that are exciting, like the installation of Julie today and the new chapter in this church's life. And individually, God, we come from many different places today. Some of us, like the woman at the well, longing for something that we don't even know we're longing for, invisible to many around us. Some of us come full of life and full of faith, God, but we come together, each one of us, different but the same, longing, all of us, for your touch. So God, I pray that right now we can quiet our hearts and our minds, we can let go of whatever it is that is eating us up inside or that we're thinking about next, and that we can just for this time in worship, as we hear your word through scripture and proclamation, and music and sacrament, God, that you would come to us, that you would form and transform our very being so that we can be the light in this world as you call us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, who sees us fully. Amen. I invite you to travel back in time with me to a city in Samaria in the time of Jesus. Are you there? This is a hot, humid day that we've entered into. The dust in the air is so obvious because the wind is blowing, one of those hot summer winds that we know of in Minnesota. And dirt is everywhere. Our feet and the feet of everybody we see are completely covered in the grime that comes from walking on dirt roads in the hot summer as the sweat turns to mud. And in the middle of the village is a well. Now the well is the center of life for this village. Not only is it the place where people come to fill their buckets for their needs at home, but it's also the social hub. It's where conversation happens. And people engage their friends and their neighbors. They talk about what's going on in their life. In the middle of the day, it's not nearly as busy as the earlier part of the day or the evening because it's darn hot outside. Most people come to fill their jars and their jugs and their buckets in the morning or at night when it's not hot. So what's going on right now as we're watching the scene unfold is people just talking, hardly any work. Do you see her? There's a woman that's approaching the well. You probably don't notice her because nobody does. For she's an outcast. She's been married 5 times, and nobody cares to hear her story. And now she's living with some other guy who tends to be a good guy, but we don't really know what's going on there. And she's fending for herself, and she comes to the well at the hottest part of the day. Sweat dripping. The jugs are heavy when they're empty. How is she going to possibly handle the heat as she takes them back to her home? She comes at this time of day because she doesn't want to be seen. Because she's so used to being invisible that when she's seen by people, it's usually a terribly awkward and painful exchange. People are mean. And the meanest thing they do is they ignore that she even exists and they pretend she's not there and she's sick and she's tired of the looks and the stares and the pretending that she's not there. But she comes because she needs water. And she comes to get the water for her work. But now look, somebody's talking to her. It's that Jesus that we've heard about. The Messiah, even some are saying, he's actually engaging her in conversation. Doesn't he he know her story? She's been married 5 times. She has no value. She has no worth. And she's not Jewish. Why is he, a Jew, talking to her, a Samaritan? But let's listen in. The conversation continues, and it's apparent that he knows her fully, yes. He knows her story. He knows that she's been married 5 times and now lives with another. He knows that she's thirsty, and he's not just talking about the water that she'll get at the well. She's thirsty, he knows, because she's been pushed away. She's thirsty, he knows, because she continues to be invisible to those around her. She's thirsty, he knows, because she longs desperately for something to be seen, to be known, to be made whole. So Jesus and her are having this exchange, and she proclaims to him that he's a prophet, but not just because he sees things, but because he is of God, proclaiming God's word to her. And she begins to rise up because she's filled, for the first time maybe, she's filled with being seen. Seen for who she is, a child of God, worthy because of God's love. There she goes. Do you see her? She forgot her jar. She's so excited, she skips on her way. There she goes, transformed from invisible to visible, from unseen to seen, from somebody with no hope to somebody filled with hope. Do you see her? There she goes. Let's come back in time to today. Do you see her? The woman? The woman that's been told she doesn't matter because of the way she chooses to live her life? Do you see him? The one that is always so angry that nobody dares to go talk to him because he just is mean? So they push him further and further out. Do you see her, the immigrant or the refugee who's been told they don't belong, that continues to dig in themselves in their own hole because nobody dares to talk to them, so they're unseen? Do you see him? The man whose marriage is falling apart, that has no idea where to turn, where will he find hope because he's judged for the fact that his marriage is ending. Do you see her? The one that is trying to become something for other people because she thinks she has to be a certain way or look a certain way or do a certain thing or earn enough money so people respect her. Do you see him? The one that is addicted. The one that has mental illness. The one that is elderly. The one that is young. Do you see her? The one that is unseen in your midst. In this place, in your community, do you see him? The one that is longing to be seen and would rather not be seen because every time he's seen, he's offended and oppressed and pushed further away. Do you see her? The person that looks different, smells different, talks different, loves different. Do you see him? Do you feel her? Do you feel him? Maybe that's you. Maybe that's me. Do you see him? If I know anything, my wife would often say I don't, but if I know anything, I know that the power of the story of the woman at the well, the hope that it provides, this is a story of great hope, but also this is a story of great calling to you, to me, as members of the body of Christ. It's hope. Let's start there. It's hope for you. If you've ever felt unseen, it's hope for you if today you're feeling invisible, even in a congregation that's wonderful like this. It's hope today for you if you're wondering why you even exist. It's hope for you if you're sick and tired of being pushed aside or told you're never going to be enough or told you don't matter or your disease or your health crisis or your addiction or your life circumstances has ever alienated you from anybody else. There's hope in the scripture today for you. Because that's who Jesus is. The one that gives you life. The one that gives you purpose. The one that gives you the gift of belonging to God. For you belong to God. That's what Jesus does. To the woman at the well, to you in this room, and to the world around us that we're called to bring hope and light to. But it's also a calling. It's a calling for each one of you, young and old, to understand that you are the ones that have been called to take the message of God's grace and radical hospitality into the streets, to find the invisible and make them visible, to remove the invisibility cloak if you're a Harry Potter fan so that people can see them, to let them know that God sees them first. You are the ones that have been called to bring hope to the hopeless and light to the darkness, to let people know that God has claimed them. And I know that you all do a pretty good job of that here at Amazing Grace. You pride yourself of being a congregation that makes a difference in the world, of welcoming all. I get it, but I'm not going to let you off the hook. You can't just sit back and say, well, we've done it. We welcome people. Because the gospel continues to call and continues to challenge and continues to fill and continues to send you from this place, each one of you. Because there continues to be people who don't know their love. And there continue to be people who have been told they don't matter. And there continues to be people who would just as soon give up on God because the only God they know is a God of judgment and hate. But the God that we know is Jesus at the well, who sits and talks with an outcast, an unvalued Samaritan woman. And that same God in Jesus Christ says to you today, if you feel invisible, turn your eyes on me. And if you feel fully seen by this great God today, thanks be to God, but now get to work. The world is waiting. Let your light shine so that there's light in the darkness and hope. Praised and a place for people to turn. Today is a new day for you, yes? A day we mark twice Julie's installation, and it's not a day to celebrate and think we're good. It's a day to make promises to God that you as pastor and people are in this work. It's my prayer for you that it's a springboard into the next chapter of this church's life, but also a springboard into making even a bigger difference in the lives of those around you. Let's get to work. Thanks be to God. Amen.